The Sean Green Show. Sean covers all things entertainment.
Movies, books, news, concerts, television, video games,
the entertainment guru. Sean covers it all. This is the Sean Green Show podcast. The Sean Green Show podcast on WGN Plus and SeanGreenShow.com.
Guess what? Sophia Chase, she actually decided to stay. And she, I don't know what I said or what I did, but she decided to stay. And one of the reasons she decided to stay was because we're going to talk about male-female relationships and just friendships. Because I know I have a lot of female friends. And as far as male friends, I got a handful of male friends, but most of my friends are female. So people always ask that question, can men and women just be friends and nothing else comes of it? So somebody to talk about this is Dave Stoltz. He's the executive director at fearlessman.com and DaveStoltz.net. He joins me right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
How you doing, Sean?
All right, so... Well, first and foremost, I'm going to ask you this question flat out. Can men and women have a platonic friendship? Can that actually happen?
The short answer is yes.
Really?
The long answer is it can be complicated.
Okay. I need to know the complicated part.
You're not happy with the short answer?
Well, I'm happy with the short answer, but I mean, most women, when you give them that short answer, 9 times out of 10, they're going to tell you it's bullshit. So,
exactly.
Right. So, I need to know the complicated part.
Well, it really gets complicated when both the woman and the man do not set boundaries for themselves first, personally. Then we get into the kind of the attachment and the nurturing nature of a woman getting sucked into the relationship side of the house. And then on the male side of the house, we start bonding with the woman over time, and even as men, we still need that kind of nurturing and that kind of love stuff. And then on top of it, we, you know, get the actual sexual attraction for her if it's not there at first. So if the man hasn't defined what that woman is to him clearly as the friendship or relationship starts, then they're both headed down a pretty dangerous road of not being truly platonic. They can end up in a world of very weird relationships, and it really all starts with clear definition on both parties' parts to keep everything truly platonic.
Let me ask you this before you go any further. Like, you mentioned boundaries, and I totally get that. So what type of boundaries should one set right at the get-go? When, like, let's say, Sophia, like, I look at her as a friend and somebody that's really cool. So what type of boundaries should be set right off the bat if you were in this situation?
If there is any inkling of sexual turn-on toward the other person, then immediately you know that it is a non-platonic relationship.
Really?
and that's on both parties' parts. Because if we start repressing that sexual desire, which men are awful at doing, they do it all the time. excuse me, Sean. I feel that men really repress their sexual desires, and even women do. And
I agree.
When we repress this, you said you agree?
I agree. Yes, I deal with men who repress their sexual desires professionally.
Well, I actually look at it as, you know, It's kind of like a free will and self-control. Somebody that has great self-control can be attracted to a woman. I mean, I have attractive female friends, very attractive female friends. But I also know that there are some limits that I just can't go to. Like, I would never put myself in a situation where something may happen. And I think that has to be, you know, it's a responsibility thing. I mean, everybody has that sexual desire. Everybody wants that itch that needs to be scratched. So I mean, sure, that's where I kind of disagree with you at, is because I just think it comes with self-control. You have to have self-control when it comes to the
outside. Hey, Sean, could I say something that real quick? Because I love that you talked about boundaries. And the step, I think, before self-control that he was talking about that I think is really important is being honest with yourself, how you feel about the person. Mm-hmm. Once you know that, because if you avoid that topic, you're not going to ever be able to set a boundary and be clear because you don't even know what it is.
I'm trying to figure that out.
Because, so when you figure out how you feel, then you actually have to communicate it to the other person. Well, and that's how the two of you can set boundaries. I love the communication aspect of it. And then there is self-control if what you want isn't the same as the boundaries that have been set.
Well, that's why I have the problem with the knowing what you want, and because like just meeting somebody up the first time, you're not gonna really know. You're gonna know if that person's attractive off the bat. I mean, that's a given.
Of course.
But as far as like what I want from that person, it's like I'm not gonna have that thought. And I think most people are not really having that thought. Somebody with a lower IQ probably like, yeah, I gotta have it. But I think the normal person.
Not so much IQ, it's EQ. So we're talking about emotional intelligence when it comes to this. And any man or any woman that's done work on themselves that understands the emotional components of who they are and are truly self-aware, they're going to be able to have that conversation and know right off the bat, is this something that I want to pursue sexually and into a more intimate relationship, or is this something that is solely friendship material? And they're going to know immediately. Now, spending time with that person, things can change, and it does happen. But then you still are having that open communication about, hey, my feelings are shifting in this situation. Where are you? Because I need to either distance myself or we can take this further in the direction that it's headed if we're both on the same page. And that open communication is very critical. And Sean, much like yourself, I have a lot of female friends as well, and I have a lot of male friends too. However, I really have had to set very strict boundaries with some of the women that I hang out with due to I can tell that there's an attraction immediately, and I am not attracted on that level. So and I know that from my own self-awareness and understanding of how relationships and friendships work on a much more intimate level.
So you're saying in your answer with that, you're saying that you're not physically attracted to them on any level.
Correct. I see them solely as a friend. And like you said, I enjoy like hanging out, having a great conversation with them and talking about life and just having a good female friend around. Because, I mean, let's face it, we're, as human beings, we're turned on by a lot of different things and a lot of different people. But having self-awareness and having that emotional intelligence is really going to help guide us to what truly fits us as our own being. Okay. When we head down that road of relationships, whether it be a friends with benefit relationship, or a full-on committed relationship. And within that committed relationship, are we bringing other partners in and playing with them, or is it just completely exclusive? And then the doors for that type of thing just open up vastly. But I think it's really personal awareness that allows you to dictate where this relationship's going to go. And traditionally, men are the leaders of relationships. The women are, we teach the women, men are the gateholders of, or the gatekeepers of a relationship, and women are the gatekeepers of sex. So women want a relationship, men want sex, and we both have to play this little game for the man to open up to the relationship and for the woman to open up to sex. And that's kind of the way we look at it and approach it. And it works very well for a lot of people with that understanding, and they really truly get it at that point.
Okay. We're talking with Dave Stoltz, executive director at fearlessman.com and davestoltz.net. I wanted to throw this at you, social media. All right. And I think everybody in this room can attest to this. People you follow or people you choose to follow.
And
people
social media, a.k.a. thirst trap.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Like, because, I mean, everybody's guilty of it, that you may follow somebody in your area, out of your area, because either A, they're cool, or they, if it's the opposite sex, you may find them a little attractive. So, and sometimes that connection online turns out to be physical at some point, you know, if you push the right button, if you keep jabbing at it. So how does one maintain let's say if you're married, or if you have a significant other, how do you balance that? Because we're in a visual world, so you have to have that as a factor.
Absolutely. And we don't socialize on a local level anymore. We socialize on a global level, and we have access to people unlike never before, mm-hmm. to anybody in the world, to different countries, obviously, and different types of people in different regions. It's amazing. And at the same time, it can be dangerous. A perfect example of this, and I watched an interview with Grant Cardone and his wife. And, you know, Grant's very popular, good-looking guy. He's an older guy. And his wife, they sit down and look through Grant's Instagram all the time, and there's tons of women sending nudes and all kinds of sexy shots to him. And she simply says, "Wow, she's got a great ass. I need to work out a little bit more. Now delete her." and I thought that was hilarious. And I thought at the same time, what a healthy way to handle that, because this is the world we live in. And we need to find that healthy way to handle that type of stuff in a marriage, in a relationship. It's going to happen. That's just, you know, you can't block everybody on social media. That's not the point. These are just kind of the things of social media that are kind of uncontrollable, if you will. Now, if you're a single guy or you're a single girl, it can be fun if you want it to be fun, but it can also be a complete and total nuisance on both parties' parts.
Wow.
Where, you know, the women are thirst trapping the guys and the guys are thirst trapping the girls. And that's just kind of the way the landscape is at this point. But really, again, having healthy, open conversation with your significant other about either men or women approaching you online, whether decently or indecently, is something that I think is that something that a very mature and healthy person would do with their significant other.
Oh, hey, could I say something on this, Dave? Yeah. I got to say, I love how you're talking about this in terms of having these kind of difficult discussions in your relationship. I think there are a lot of people who might shy away from sitting down with their partner and saying, "Hey, how do you feel when people, you know, come on to me online?" I have a bit of a unique situation in that my job is sexual in nature. I have a significant other that I'm platonic, or I'm not platonic, monogamous with, was the word I was thinking.
Okay.
Very different. monogamous with. But we have had such clear conversations about where our relationship is, that we are sexually monogamous and emotionally monogamous, because those are two separate things, that it's helped me articulate really clearly. I'm not even thinking about clients, but I'm thinking about friends and acquaintances online. So when men have messaged me and, you know, asked me out or something like that, I've been able to really clearly say to them, you know, I'm flattered. You're actually a really interesting person and I'd love to get to know you. However, I'm in a monogamous relationship. And last time I remember this happening was a while back, and I got to say to the guy, hey, I'm in a trust building portion of my new monogamous relationship, and I don't want to compromise any of that. If you want to go out maybe on a double date with somebody else that you're seeing, that could be great. But right now, I don't want to be alone with anybody where it has the potential to not be platonic.
Did you go out on a double date?
We haven't yet, but he's still an interesting guy, and we still message back and forth on Instagram.
Really?
You know who you are.
Honestly, I honestly think you were reading my mind, because I was actually going to ask you about that. And
yeah.
I think you just jumped in my head for a second.
Oh, so. We are on the same wavelength, Sean.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's talk red flags. Let's talk red flags. Dave, what are some red flags that men and women should look for when it comes to, you know, the opposite sex and friends?
The red flag, again, it's knowing thyself, so to speak, and having that awareness. The red flags are when, from the woman's side of the house, where she is really starting to bond emotionally with the man more than just a friend, where she's bonding with him on a sexual level, she's bonding with him on an intimate level, say they're watching, you know, romantic comedies together, or, you know, going grocery shopping or shopping together, or just hanging out inordinate amount of time together, or maybe even staying over at each other's house, like maybe he's sleeping on the couch or they're staying in bed together, but they're not having sex, and that happens a lot. That's what when the woman should be aware, and then the man, he needs to understand. And I see women being much more aware of this than men are, and they're usually the ones to cut it off if that happens,
right,
first, more so than men. Because let's face it, Sean, as men, we're not that emotionally intelligent. we're working on it, and there's a lot of men that are. But when it comes to emotional intelligence, this truly is a woman's domain, and they are the masters at that. And so their awareness around self usually and in relationships is much more keen than your knowledge or my knowledge on emotional levels. But when men have the red flag, or should know that there's a red flag, it's like, okay, I'm getting turned on every time I hang out with this girl. I'm having sexual impulses toward her. I definitely am viewing her more than a friend. I'm having fantasies about her. I want to see her more and more. And those would be red flags for a man. And he should really be aware of that type of stuff.
All right.
And I feel that men, this is a big thing that men do. And this comes from what's called the nice guy syndrome. And that is being overly nice and with a covert contract on the back end. You see this a lot. These men have a very manipulative contract on the back end of what they're giving to the woman or even other men. And these guys are unfortunately, I'm sure you've known women that have run into men like this and have talked about them. Oh, he's so nice, but can you believe he did this and like sexually escalated on me?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm sorry?
I know exactly what you're talking about, yes.
unfortunately, I've been that guy in the past that's done this. So, like you read me like a book because I've done this in the past where I had like I'm gonna be real. I gotta keep it real, and I've done this in the past. I mean, there were women that I were attracted to, and I knew that at some point that I would. You know, try to make something more of it. Like I said, this is all in the past now, you know, so.
Sure.
But it doesn't sound like it was transactional in nature, though. Like you didn't, the nice guys I think of who do something like this, they're expecting, like the friendship is conditional upon it eventually getting more serious. They're the ones who then end up insulting you online when you turn them down.
Well, yeah, that's the douchebag move.
But that's the nice guy syndrome sometimes, though. There's whole websites that are just full of screen grabs of those.
Behavior.
Oh, I'm so sorry I interrupted you. What did you say?
Oh, no. It's a very toxic behavior.
It is. I am so glad you're talking about emotional intelligence. I was worried that you guys were going to be like pickup artists.
That's what we teach.
Type. What you're actually teaching is phenomenal, and we need more of this. Men need to talk about this more and raise their emotional intelligence. They're going to be really happy in relationships when they master some of this stuff. Like I just got a text from my partner, my significant other, who said, "Oh yeah, I remember that guy that you're talking about, the guy who we were possibly going to go on a double date with." And he winked at me. There's no jealousy there because we had such clear boundaries, and he was willing to have that difficult talk.
Well, see, I think that's the problem where men, like, we don't, like, for some reason we don't sit in a room and talk about our feelings. We don't. That is something that we don't do. I mean, we should do it.
Right. Our culture's not set up that way.
Right.
It's unfortunate.
And I think maybe somebody would kind of start this as a group of men sitting in a room and just talk about their feelings and things that we do that's kind of fucked up and how we can actually change it. Because I mean, I know a few women that they openly say men are trash, and for the most part we are, because we do things that are kind of fucked up and we need to fix ourselves. But in order to fix ourselves, we have to all come in a room or come on the same page and say, okay, we're fucked up, how are we gonna fix this? Because women always knew we were fucked up, but men, we have this, for some reason, we just don't accept that. So I think once we accept that, then we can change and move forward and be able to, in a sense, I mean, you already coexist with women, but have a healthy coexistence. You know what I mean? So having this conversation.
Well, a lot of that comes down to shame, right?
Yes.
Because as men, we have. We have our big male ego that's truly, truly fragile. and there's a lot of shame in talking about our emotions or expressing our emotions. And what we do as a fearless man is we cultivate an environment where it is an emotional environment. And I'm not talking about neediness. I'm not talking about victimness. I'm not talking about kind of this crybaby, please help me, I'm broken mentality. No, we're talking about and we're dealing with all the layers of emotion that a human being can go through, and how that those layers of emotion are truly just an experience separated from the self, and they don't mean that you are broken, that you are this specific emotion. For example, we have a scale. It's called the AGFLAP scale, and it starts with the lowest emotions called apathy, grief, and fear. Those are your lowest emotions in any human being, and they retract inward. So you want to think of someone that's very heavy feeling, emotionally depressed. Those folks are going to be down in your lower energies, those apathy, grief, and fear energies. Then we have these middle energies, which are lust, anger, and pride. And those are outward-facing energies where there's less of the heaviness, but there's a little bit more of the aggressiveness. And you can do a lot of good in those energies. And there's a lot of successful people in those energies. And there's a lot of attraction in those energies. And then you go above that and you get into courage, acceptance, peace, where that's where you are very, very aware of yourself. You're not, I say detached, but I'm not talking about emotionless. I'm talking about the attachment to the emotion, where the man would think that he truly is sad. He is not. He's just having an experience of what sadness is. And that's where I feel women and men differentiate themselves. And women truly know that sadness is a passing emotion. And yes, they're feeling it. You know, why do they watch romantic comedies and love and romance movies? Because it's a roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah.
They're having all of these emotions on that full scale, but they are not being or attaching themselves so deeply to each emotion that they're having. Well, we as men tend to do that. We haven't understood that it is truly just an experience we're having, and not to judge it and just experience it. Talk about it. Like, oh, okay, it's over, it's gone. But having the emotional intelligence to actually recognize it is what men are lacking. And they feel that if they express that they're sad or express that they truly love something or someone or even express a want, need, or desire around sex. There's a tremendous amount of shame in sex when it comes to men, believe it or not.
Yes.
That's not what we're told. That's not what we're told, right? We're told that men are incredibly sexual and very open and adventurous.
Oh, they are both.
That's not true.
Yeah.
They're both, but
yes.
The majority of men are very sexually repressed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's extremely frustrating for the woman, because she can feel his desires, but he's not asking for them. He's not being open about them. So therefore she can't trust him. And therefore he ends up becoming frustrated even more and more. So we got a little off topic there, but kind of,
you're getting into my zone. I would love to expound upon that. That's fantastic.
Okay.
Well, no, I teach classes to couples. Oh, I'm sorry.
What? Just so I have a better understanding,
sure.
And I don't know if you talk about what you do or not, but mm-hmm. when you work in the sexual industry, what are you doing?
My name's Sophia Chase. I am a professional dominatrix and dungeon owner, but I've done a lot of...
I figured that's probably what you
do. Yeah, but I've done a lot of educational programming. So I've taught workshops to large groups and then do private education to individuals and with couples. I've since... past year or so, hired on somebody who's a professional sex educator who teaches all of our classes at the dungeon. So if people want
amazing education.
Yeah, in addition to actually, you know, playing around and stuff, they can come in. And I feel like sometimes people are surprised at the amount of talk that has to happen before you can, let's say, teach somebody how to spank or do bondage, for example. And we're helping facilitate these conversations between couples about what actually excites you. And it's, for me, it's a bit fascinating that a third stranger in the room can sometimes help facilitate this really delicate conversation, mm-hmm. That maybe people just haven't had before, even though they know their partner loves them and trusts them and all of those things. It is absolutely amazing to see couples have a breakthrough and kind of connect in that conversation, because I know after they leave, you know, the class with me, they're going to go and have an amazing erotic time together because they communicated clearly. I think BDSM people have a lot to teach vanilla folks. We talk about everything before we do it. We do not do anything without talking about it first and setting boundaries and expectations and limits. If people did that in their regular sex life, I've said this before, but, you know, if when you were sitting down with somebody you were going to, let's say, have a one night stand with, or maybe even the first time you have sex with a partner, and go, hey, I have a bit of TMJ, so I'm not really good at giving head, but I love hand jobs and butt stuff, that kind of thing. And just laid it all out there. Well, nobody would have to guess what the other person is into.
Right.
It doesn't take away the mystery or anything. You're still going to discover so much with that person along the way, but there isn't the same amount of disappointment. Expectations are reasonable. Talk about sex, everybody, please. Even if you're not having kinky sex, talk about it.
So I gotta give you guys each a question. Like, actually, for Dave, and we're talking with Dave Stokes.
I like this topic that we're on.
Wonderful! I would love to co-facilitate something with you sometime. Yeah. I am so excited about how you frame all of this for men. But sorry to
step
in there again.
It's fine. I want to give like our men that's actually watching this and hearing this. I want the men to have kind of like a homework assignment. So, what are three things that you want men to do in order to make themselves better when it comes to relationships and platonic relationships? What are three things that men should work on? Just in general, just three things. And I got a question for you too, Sophia.
Number one thing would be go to our YouTube channel, The Fearless Man, because there's a tremendous amount of answers to that question right there.
Uh-huh.
Question number one. we cover just about every topic there is. It's really getting in touch with the emotional side of the masculine. With both male and female have masculine energy and feminine energy. You know, the women during feminism really developed their masculine, where men started to develop a little bit more of their feminine. And right now, I think women have a very well-rounded masculine and feminine. Some women go, think about your videos, they go a little bit overboard, on the masculine side. And then you have these middle management CEO or middle management corporate managers that are men that are incredibly feminine, too much. So there's an imbalance there. excuse me, I'm getting over a cold here, so I'm drinking water the whole time we're talking, guys. I'm trying to keep my voice from like disappearing again. So men can really work on developing out the emotional intelligence. There's a tremendous amount of information out there as to how to do it. You need to shed the shame, because there's nothing shameful about communicating your emotions to your partner, to your friends. I have some really good guy friends. We talk about emotional stuff all the time, and these are like hardcore dudes. Couple of them are special operations guys. You know, these guys are very emotionally intelligent. It doesn't seem like they would be because they're trained not to be. But we have good questions about emotions and the aspects of it. And men need to see that other men are doing this, and men that they perceive as extremely masculine that they don't think talk about emotions. You'd be surprised when you sit down with a well-rounded man. He's not going to judge you. It's not shameful. He's going to connect with you. He's going to share with you his emotions as well.
Right.
And it's a very positive and very empowering thing for men. Men feel a greater level of empowerment once they understand their emotions.
Wow.
So, and I'd say with empowerment also comes confidence, and that is super sexy.
Yes.
So
yes,
one more incentive.
And Sophia, if I was to give the women a homework assignment, what would you give the women?
Along what you're talking about is really listening carefully to what a man in your life decides to disclose to you. And not furthering any shame. I mean, we're taught that men should be strong and never cry, all these things about masculinity. And, you know, if somebody shows vulnerability in front of you, you know, thank them for it. Do not shame them for it. Don't tease or anything like that. Really make sure that you receive that in a grateful way anytime somebody is that vulnerable with you, especially a man who's taught not to be. He's taken a tremendous risk. So encourage, thank all of that.
And Sophia, when it truly is vulnerable, mm-hmm. there's not a woman on the planet that doesn't see that or feel it. And when it's needy, they know the difference.
Oh, absolutely.
And I've never seen it. It's very funny. Men think women don't catch all the little subtleties. You catch all of it.
Nuance.
And the only fool in the room that thinks that is the man that thinks that a woman can't and she can. Guys, women are incredibly talented at this, and you're not going to beat them.
Exactly. That women is intuition. He got it. And there you have it. Dave Stoltz, executive director at fearlessman.com, davestoltz.net. Make sure you check him out on his website. And Sophia Chase, professional dominatrix and owner of Chicago Dungeon Rentals. Follow her at Domina Sophia on Twitter and Mistress Sophia on Facebook. And make sure you check out everything that we have here. And thanks so much for joining us. And Dave, hold on for a minute, because I know you guys probably want to exchange information after this live thing. So I'm going to put you on hold.
Yes.
So hold on. And for all you guys that were listening and watching us on Instagram Live, thanks to Instagram for letting this happen. And wow, this has been a very informative show and eye-opener for me, honestly, because I got a lot to work on. So
I'm excited for you, Sean. That's great.
I know, right? So make sure you guys, I'll let you guys know when the next Instagram Live stream is going to happen. And thanks so much for both of you guys joining us.
Thanks for listening to The Sean Green Show, the entertainment guru. You could friend him on Facebook, Sean Green Show Media, or follow him on Twitter at Sean Green Show. The Sean Green Show on WGN Plus and SeanGreenShow.com.